Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, where sports betting lives. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Circa. Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How about you?
I see you got your, what do we call it? Your coffee this morning? What do we call it? Your emotional comfort? What's the name of that?
Yeah, emotional support coffee.
Emotional support coffee. Correct. That's what, yeah.
We have special penalty boxes designed because I always have so many beverages on the table, so that we have to clear them off to the side. Uh-huh. But my coffee I need a little bit closer than water, you know?
Yeah, all right.
It's really important.
You good? Everything good with you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Nice to have like a midweek where you could actually sit down and watch some pro and college basketball.
Great night.
Center stage last night. We will have Jim Root from Three Man Weave. The Weavers are back. And we get Jim Root of those three guys, Matt and Kai, in the on deck and in the hole, on deck circling in the hole for a three-man weave. But Jim Root we get today. We'll talk AFC and NFC number one seed, if there is, in fact, a bet to be made in those. And a little later on, JVT, our senior NBA analyst, talking Emirates NBA Cup night number one. Jason Weingarten will be here to join us. And you booked Wes Reynolds. Yes.
Wes Reynolds in the house. Well, not in the house.
We will talk to Wes Reynolds about his love for undefeated Indiana football and if he's braced for Indiana football to get keisterized come final selection show. That's a wish name, isn't it? Keisterized.
Man, I haven't even really asked him about it yet. Yeah. You know, we're doing long shots every week. New long shots pot up now. Wes coming off a winner last week. But yeah, I haven't even really asked him about Indiana football. Like he's like Captain Indiana.
I'm going to phrase it that way and see if he just goes with it.
We'll see.
I also want to have an in-depth discussion with Wes, because Wes is a man of many interests. Went to see the Eagles, and I have a whole thing, and I'm curious if Wes will agree with me or disagree.
Oh, where'd you go? Last night?
No. Over the weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing the last weekend. Okay. How was it? We never talked about it.
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought. They have, sorry, old rock and roll fans, but they, to me, I've never loved the, I went because someone had got me the ticket in. So
it was your first time at the Sphere, right?
First time at the Sphere. We all wanted to go to the Sphere. It was wonderful. The Sphere is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Do you want me to do the whole review now? But it was essentially, they have like 5 songs that all sound the same to me. It's like the same chords, but they just rearrange them. So by the time one of their, you know, hits came on at the end, I was like, didn't they play this already? But
they have way too many songs that I didn't know at all when I was listening.
Oh, no, I'm familiar with them. I'm familiar. Well, yeah, it's probably, I would imagine you wouldn't.
Just me.
Yeah. But I also think that the glory of the Sphere is obviously in the visuals. And it was, no one has told me this, but I believe knowing those, their personalities from the documentary, the Eagles documentary, which is a great documentary, great rock and roll documentary, that at some point they decided, hey, 5-6 songs into this, let's cut down the visuals and make sure everybody's watching us play our music.
Mm.
I think it was a concerted thing by them. Like, I get it. We're at the Sphere, but we're the stars of the show.
Do you remember what I told you about it? No. The big difference, it's my second show there, right? I went to see U2 and like the video, like the producer mind of mine just sat back the whole time watching the wall. And I'm like, you used this already for U2. Like, it's the same thing for U2.
It is incredible though. Like,
it's amazing. It's amazing.
It absolutely lives up to the hype.
It really does. It's worth the price to go see a show, especially if it's a band you really want to go see. It is worth it.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I'm just not a huge fan of theirs.
Yeah.
Generally speaking. But Vince Gill is in the band.
Why didn't he do more?
And I want to know, maybe somebody can help me with this. Did they call Vince Gill or did Vince Gill call them?
I'd love
to know the answer to that. But Joe Walsh was great. It was a whole thing. I recommend it. But again, you know, listen, at some point, the visuals go away. Okay, here's the deal. Last night, let's start with, first of all, I just want to get the college basketball, because we will talk to Wes about college hoops, or we'll talk to Jim Root about college hoops first. But two great games. This was the night last night where it was the old, you know, the Michigan State, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky doubleheader, which has become tradition on ESPN, and they do the second week of the college football rankings in between. Michigan State hung with Kansas for most of that game before Kansas finally took over at the end. The headliner, though, of course, was Flagg and Duke trying to get by Kentucky. And Cooper Flagg was great last night, had himself a great game until the last minute of the game. He was dominant. He was everything the NBA scouts could have possibly wanted to see. But on the final two possessions of this game, he came up empty. Not that that's going to hurt him in the long run. Everybody, you know, no one should overreact to it. But he had, there was tie game, 72 apiece. He had 6'11" Andrew Saar in front of him. He's like, I'm going to take him. But then Otego Owe of Kentucky came off the ball, off his player, poked it away. Kentucky went up with a couple free throws. And then the next possession, he had Kentucky 7-footer Amari Williams had him pinned in the corner, and he lost control of the ball. He hit the baseline turnover on the second consecutive possession. And so in the end, Kentucky wins it. By the way, he also didn't on the subsequent free throws. He also did not
box out
yeah. Owe after Lamont Butler missed the second of the two free throws. That squandered Duke's chance to perhaps get a last gas three-pointer. So it was a trifecta of mistakes at the end for him. But it didn't take away from the overall, which is he is going to be great.
I got a great recap from DeMond back there, our AP, that broke down the final plays for me. I did the whole thing, Gil, of, I'm like, all right, 6 o'clock, I'm turning on Cooper Flagg. Let's go. And then I got so wrapped up in NBA, and before I knew it, it was like 7:45, and the game was over, almost over.
Well, he ends up, by the way, Flagg does, in defeat, 26 points, 12 boards.
Yeah, it's so pretty good.
Not too bad. As far as the NBA, by the way, Lou Finicaro already texted me. I know it's about the Eagles. I know he's upset about my take on the Eagles. He's like, forget the sports bar. Let's talk about the Eagles. The NBA last night, the first night of the Emirates Cup again, Tuesdays and Fridays up through December 14th and 17th. That's when they play the semis and the finals. Remember, this is the in-season tournament that the Lakers so proudly won last year. They beat the Pacers in the final. We'll get to Steph, because that was the nightcap. But your thoughts, first of all, your thoughts on the courts, the whole event itself, and then let's just start with Joel Embiid. Let's just get that out of the way.
All right, let's get it out of the way. The courts, I'm tired of talking about, and this is only year two, but yeah, of course I'm with everybody. They look ridiculous. I also think, isn't everybody on the same page now that the Warriors won last night?
Yes.
Perfectly fine. And we all said the same thing last year. These, like, gray or beige, like, court covers they have, those all work. Just don't give me neon blue in my face. Like, I don't really understand what
some of them are startling because they're like playing on a mirror kind of.
Celtics Pistons last night. Yeah. Oh boy, here we go. Yeah, if you're watching at home, you'll see all the different iterations.
It's kind of cool though, isn't it?
So, thank you, Gil. Like, it's, I feel like that's everybody's snap reaction to this tournament. Yeah. It's like, oh god, the courts. And I'm like, well, if that's the NBA's biggest problem with this tournament is your issue with the courts, then they're doing something right.
Yeah. I kind of dig it. It lets you know that it's something different.
And that's what they're trying to go for, right? I don't know. I am, yes, just like you, I am a little, it hurts the eye with, like, the Pistons one last night was awful. The Celtics, I could go either way.
Let's do the bad and the good. The bad is Embiid. Joel Embiid debut last night, 13 points, and then to say he had a hitch in his giddy-up walking off the court would be an understatement.
I wrote the rundown for us, Gil. Looks skinny, plays slower than I've ever seen. That was my takeaways from the first night. Oh, man, he had some really sloppy play last night. 2 for 11 from the field, 3 rebounds, 5 assists.
2 for 11 is ungood.
Yeah, ungood. 26 minutes. I don't know if you caught this post-game, though. Joel Embiid, who is now basically on record as saying he will not be playing in back-to-backs for most likely his entire career, decided to have some fun with the fans last night and say this after the game.
I mean, I want to. That's up to those guys. I mean, I know I said I will never play back-to-backs, but I'm a troll, so I'm sure at some point I'll play. But I feel good right now. We're going to see. But it's up to them.
Sixers lose to the Knicks by 12. And it's just, for me, it's more you just step back and you wonder, like, how is, if this is in fact the continuation of a health decline, and that we'll never see him. And I remember he won an MVP. Maybe it was because they just got tired of giving it to Jokic that year.
Yeah.
But if this is, in fact, we're seeing him on the downside and this will just continue, what a What a shame. What a career sort of lost, if that's the case.
It's terrible. I caught the stat the other day. It's like 47% of the regular season games that he could have played in, he's mm-hmm. missed. Like, yeah. He's missed half the regular season games he's played. They are 9.5-point dogs at home against the Cavs tonight. Him and Paul George both questionable. I don't expect to see him go, Gil, but this is in the whole story of, hey, we bet on these things. It's great when you get concrete information, as much as people want to freak out. It's actually great when we hear from someone like Joel Embiid, hey, I'm not going to play in back-to-backs. And then after his first game, it's, well, I don't know. It's up to them. It's not up to me. It's up to them.
That's one of five games tonight, the Cavaliers and the Sixers. One of five games tonight where a team is playing a team that is not playing a back-to-back is playing a team that is on a back-to-back. So the Sixers on a back-to-back there. Cavaliers trying to go 13-0. Try to go 13-0 as 9.5-point favorites on the road. The other games that feature teams that are on better rest, if you will, playing a team that's on a back-to-back when they did not play last night. Pacers get to play the Magic, who lost last night. The Nets are hosting the Celtics. The Celtics get beat by the Hawks. Hawks overcame a 15-point second-half deficit to beat the Celtics last night. Celtics are 8.5-point road favorites in that one. The Bulls are going to play the Knicks at New York. The Knicks still remain a 8.5-point favorite in that. And the other one, the fifth one, is the Suns and the Kings. Suns coming off a victory last night. Kings get to play them. Kings are 7.5-point favorites in that game tonight with the Suns on a back-to-back.
Yeah, I laid 6 last night. That's the only one I'm on.
The best thing last night, though, was Steph, man. The Warriors were up. The Mavericks took over. The Mavericks went on a 7-0 run after the game was tied. And then Steph went crazy, scored the last 12 of this game in a game where Klay Thompson, in his return, in his glorious return to San Francisco, where the crowd was just giving him all kinds of love before the game, during the game, after the game, he scored 22. Klay did 6 3-pointers. But in the end, Steph let you know it was his house. And he said it that way. Warriors 9-2 with the 120-117 win, and they cover in the process, 2.5-point favorites. We'll come back. How about some NFL next?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Who doesn't like that? Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sport Trade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. It's live now in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now Virginia. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets of beating the book. Cheap prop bets. As a Bears fan, I'm actually happy for Jaden Daniels. The Bears would have likely screwed him up. Coaching and organizations play such a huge role in the development of quarterbacks, i.e. see the unlikable Green Bay Packers. Listen, I have said this for years on the show. If you were a keen numbers game listener, the one I always say is if Peyton Manning was drafted by Washington and he had a different coach and different coordinator every single year, sure, he has pedigree because he's Peyton Manning, but he never would have become the Peyton Manning we know. And there's no way I can prove this to you, but that is the thing about football. You're absolutely right. It is unlike basketball where talent always wins. There's only 5 guys on a court. Talent will rise. They don't always win the title, but they will always be the more impressive thing on a basketball court. Football is so absolutely dependent on the situation you get in. So you might be right, cheap prop bets. Maybe that's the case. Obviously, what he's talking about, the Packers, is, my goodness, two decades of Hall of Fame quarterbacking and now maybe a good player and maybe a perennial All-Pro in Jordan Love. I used to say this about San Francisco. I was there at a time where Jeff Garcia was the quarterback right after Steve Young. They had had 21 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacking with Joe Montana and Steve Young. And then when Jeff Garcia had the audacity to only make 3 Pro Bowls, they're like, this guy sucks. Well, you guys got to be kidding me.
Chef Gers.
StatLogic Sports. 1, is Caleb Williams special? And 2, has Mike Tomlin ever had a losing season?
He is not special. He is not special. There's nothing special about him.
Mike Alvarez. First live show this week. Caleb having a tough start, but look at Jared Goff. He just had 5 picks and still won. That's pretty bad, but it's not like Jared ever lost when being a 17-point favorite at home. Oh, wait. Oh, don't bring that back, that memory from those of us in Survivor in 2020 who got knocked out of that game. Okay, let us talk some college hoops. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at 3MW underscore CBB. I believe I have that right after all these years. It's Three Man Weaves, Jim Root, James Patrick Root, everybody. How you doing, Jim? What's going on?
I'm great, Gil. Good to be here. Yeah, you got that nailed. Ever since we changed it from the double underscore of 3MW, we had to figure that out, and I'm glad we've got you on board now too.
Well, I appreciate it. Listen, let's start with what happened last night. And then we'll get to your more macro stuff and then your picks today. But Cooper Flagg, I said that at the beginning of the show, I'm like, hey, obviously two turnovers, and then he didn't box out. Everybody, let's not overreact. He's still going to be awesome. He is absolutely was the best player on the court yesterday. I don't think we'll have any disagreement on that. Was there a bigger takeaway from any of those four teams featured last night? Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas, obviously, most prominently.
Not really. I think especially Duke probably doesn't need to be too worried at all about losing. They didn't make jump shots. You mentioned the Flagg stuff late. And we were talking about this before we got on air. You know, Shire draws up that last play out of the timeout, and it's going to Flagg's weak hand. That's just something that I find rather questionable, and you've got a whole timeout to set that up. They clear out the left side for Cooper Flagg. That doesn't really make sense to me. It's hard to put that all on Flagg when really coaching could have corrected that a little bit. But yeah, I thought Duke looked great. Kentucky impressively looking a little bit cohesive early on, and I like what they have in terms of different lineup options. They can play some really heavy defense lineups. They can kind of go all offense, and that's a credit to what Mark Pope is able to do in the portal, just bringing in different kinds of players that mesh. And they went over it, you know, ad nauseum last night, all the different things those guys have done off the court to try to come together. But I generally think what I expected of the teams ended up happening, and you know, Duke didn't win. That's just certainly the expected outcome. But I think if you really dig into the box score and like the 3-point shooting numbers and Con Knipple going 5 for 20, it's hard to have anywhere near panic mode for Duke. I think they acquitted themselves nicely despite the loss.
I would totally agree. You are the guy, by the way, all you guys at Three Man Weave do great with this, but you're the one specifically that, as far as how I can remember it in my mind, is the one known for having a whole bunch of futures tickets, really good futures tickets, when it comes down to the end. What do you have in pocket this year?
Oh, all kinds of them. Yeah, I've definitely started more of a portfolio approach over the last few years, just try to get as many good teams as I can at good prices. You know, I picked off Auburn at 40-1. The second Jani Broom announced he was coming back. That obviously looks pretty good right now with them sitting atop KenPom rankings that went over Houston. I've got Alabama something like 20-1, Houston around 20-1. Just try to get as many as I can up in that vicinity so that when we get down to it towards the end of the year, maybe some decent gambles. A couple longer shots might be decent prices right now that I think have really high upside that might be worth taking a look at. Texas Tech, they're way up there in KenPom rankings, almost top 10. I think it's fully legit. I believe in them as a great, great team. They've got scoring, passing, bunch of different great defenders. They can play big, they can play small, they've got a great coach. I think Texas Tech's going to float right around that top 10 all season and be a candidate to make a run late. And then the bigger couple gambles you could look at here, BYU and Illinois, teams that I wasn't really buying early, especially coming into the season, just kind of the youth that they had, the international flavor that they had, I wasn't sure how it was going to translate. Both teams have looked really good early on. Now, there's still a lot of testing to be done against actual competition, but if you're taking a swing for the fences, they're both sitting around 20th in KenPom, maybe they end up leaping up and getting, you know, four seeds or something with the talent that they have, and then you look pretty smart and you have a nice portfolio towards the end of the year.
How much, by the way, and I don't mean to reduce your analysis on college basketball to this when you're doing futures, but what percentage of your futures plays comes down to, oh, look, here they're ranked in KenPom way higher than the betting market gives them credit for. That's a bet.
Not as much, because he doesn't come out with it till mid-October. And so all summer, I'm just kind of trying to pick off, you know, good prices, especially if like one book's just far off on a team. I'm pretty comfortable with that. But then as we get into the year, to your point, like, oh, wow, this team's played really well, maybe even way better than I'm realizing. They've risen up to 22nd in KenPom. and they're still sitting 150-1. Maybe that's something that's worth taking a shot at. So I do try to balance it out, especially during the year. Then KenPom has an influence.
Yeah, as good a method of any. By the way, Alabama, I just want to point this out, so good that Houston Mallett is redshirting. That's how good Alabama is. Just want to point that out. Okay. How has the season gone so far, this very young season, in terms of just picking games?
It started well. Sides have treated me well. Had a bad totals night last night. Just kind of was on the wrong side of a few. My own fault. Bad bets, not bad beats. But I picked up the trend early in the season that it was going to be an efficient season. So I got some overs early. Unders have started to make a comeback. Efficiency not, or at least the books have caught up with the incredible efficiency that the season has had so far. So feeling okay, off to a decent start, Gil, and hopefully we can keep it going.
All right. What have you got tonight? And I'm sure you've come equipped with rotation numbers.
I sure did. And you know, the most surprising part is I have nothing on the extra board, Gil. It feels okay. Foreign to me to not be dipping down into those teams. But
what kind of segment is this without that?
I know. I'm not even trying at this point. No. We'll start right off the top of the rotation. 6-6-8, first game on the board, Louisiana Tech and UMass. Taking the under 146 in this game. It's on a neutral site. For some reason, these two are playing in New Jersey. I don't really know why Louisiana Tech is headed up there, but both of them have some pretty great interior defenders. Louisiana Tech's got the defensive player of the year in their conference, Daniel Bacho, formerly of Arizona and Texas Tech. And then UMass has got a JUCO transfer that just blocks everything. He's a pogo stick, 7-footer, long arms. I think both teams are going to struggle to score in the paint. Both teams they're playing on this like kind of neutral, cavernous. It's going to be a weird atmosphere, not a lot of fans there. I think that's conducive to the under. So I like that one at the top. Next up, 7-06, Illinois. Just talked about them a little bit in the futures section. I'm going to lay it with them, -23. They've looked really good early on, and they've got a lot of guys fighting for minutes. So if they're in a blowout, I think they've got guys that are going to keep up the blowout late. And Oakland's a mess right now. We loved Oakland in the NCAA tournament last year, but they lost a ton. They're kind of injured. They're trying to learn Greg Campy's zone defense. They're trying to figure out his offense. They got blown out by 40 or 50 in Boise in their first game. And I think Illinois is every bit capable of doing that. And last up, 7-08, Cal State, Fullerton, and Colorado. I'm taking the under again here, 137. I think both teams' strengths are their front courts. You're going to have a little bit of a clash there, especially Colorado doesn't have a lot of guard talent, a lot of shot creation. Fullerton's also going to be pretty comfortable playing in the half court. So battle of the bigs, elevation could keep this game a little bit lower possession for Fullerton. I think the under is a pretty solid look there as well.
Excellent use of elevation, Jim. Excellent. Well done. All these picks, in case you missed them, if they went too fast from Jim, all will be available, pardon me, at VSiN.com/picks. Every guest, every host, every sport at VSiN.com/picks. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it, man. Great to see you.
Magnificent to see you, Gil. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. He one-upped me with magnificent. By the way, it's at 3MW_CBB for three-man weave, but Jim personally can be found at Second Chance Points. That's with the number 2. We'll come back. Some number 1 seed thoughts in the NFL next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Our number 2 of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking this in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This young man right here is Calais. How do you pronounce that? Bidelon.
Yeah,
Calais Bidelon.
You'll get him one of these days.
By the way, the voice of Brent Musburger, who does the voiceovers here for all of our segments here at VSiN, he is the guest on the Megapod tomorrow.
Ooh.
Beating the book Megapod. Brent has agreed for a fourth consecutive year to subject himself to the Todd Wishnev experience. So we're very excited about
that.
That's
a must listen.
I say to Todd, I'm like, okay, Todd, let's...
It's Brent.
Let's tamp it down this week. He goes, I'm not going to do that, Gil. I'm like, okay, but glad we had this conversation. Glad that went well. Still to come this hour, Wes Reynolds joins us in a very solid booking by Kelly Bidlin, getting Wes on the show. Jason Weingarten and JVT standing by. Real quick, I want to read some tweets. This is from Brosec1870. He answered the question. He said, Vince Gill was asked to join the Eagles after Glenn Frey died in 2017. So that answers my question. And I guess what was Vince Gill sitting around? He's like, sure, I'll join you.
Yeah, but like, was he not involved, like, in every... Like, he was highlighted, it seemed like, in 3 or 4 songs.
I'm just telling you all their songs sound the same. You can't hide your crying eyes or little lion eyes.
Hard, hard for me to argue that.
Yeah. All those songs sound the same. Except for I Can't Tell You Why. That's the jam. Jamie Leyva, Gil and Jim Root, as always, a great segment on the show. You might even say it was magnificent. Thank you very much. Jason Stark says, oh, I know you made that pick, Kelly. I listen every day. You both heard from me last year when the Steelers hit my alt over 9.5 last season, too. Steelers-Ravens will likely end up a split. Browns sweep. Cincy split. That's 11. Eagles possible win, too. 12. Oh, okay. You got to 12. All right, we'll see. And then Touchdown Jesus. Great marketing by Morgan & Morgan, by the way, to include on their injury list a muscle pull fielding footballs, drowning in eggnog, or the incomparable tennis Achilles rupture. Yeah, the memo didn't get to Morgan & Morgan quite yet. But thanks for remembering all of our mishaps.
Hey, one of us have gotten hurt since they've been sponsoring, okay?
That's right. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, he is our senior NBA analyst. He's also the co-host, I should say, of VSiN Primetime. It is the great Jonathan Von Tobel at MeJVT on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, John?
A strong proponent of eggnog. Very excited about this time of year, but it does upset my tummy just a little bit, so I cannot have a lot. So I always get 1/4 gallon of eggnog every year, and I make it last.
Kelly can't even have a sip of it anymore. He's done.
I love this so much, JVT, and Matt Brown and Gil Alexander ruined it for me.
You're welcome.
Well, I mean, for those who might remember in our first year, I really have not had a hot dog since our infamous first hot dog eating challenge at the Vegas Stats and Information Network back at the South Point days.
Yes.
So feel I feel it.
Right? You still haven't had a single one? Is this a lifetime thing for us now? We're ruined?
I never was a hot dog guy to begin with, and then that traumatic experience. And I always say, that I actually got to ask professional eaters about this, which was, it wasn't the fullness that gets me. It's the repetitive taste that got me in that challenge. I couldn't put any more down because the taste became so disgusting to me by the time I reached the fifth one. And that is what gets me, not so much the being full and then purging 5 minutes later. It was the fact that I could not stand the taste. So, yeah. No.
True story. I was there with Deborah Song, fashion stylist, observing John do this. And I said to her at one point, I go, he's done. She goes, how do you know? I go, look at his eyes. Jay, you could see it in your face. He was done. Yep. He hit a wall. He was like, I can't do it anymore.
Oh, man.
Let me ask you about the first night of the NBA of the, so let me say it correctly, the Emirates NBA Cup 2024. Mm-hmm. Rank these in terms of thing or not a thing. Embiid, 13 points and then limping off. Spoelstra with the timeout. And then to the good, Steph Curry with the 12-point flourish at the end to win it and get the cover for the Warriors. And also to the good, the Atlanta Hawks with a great comeback yesterday, overcoming a 15-point second-half deficit against the Celtics. What made the most impact on you? What moved the needle?
So I think in order, we would go Curry, Hawks, Embiid, and Spoelstra. Spoelstra deserves just a quick moment because generally it's Eric Spoelstra. I don't think he really used that. I think he's just in a fit of rage, called a timeout, didn't understand it. But Curry, guys, I thought, this is the more incredible things we've seen. And who knows if this sticks, but I was texting with our mutual friend Will Hill over the weekend. Kelly, I know that you were in on this as well, too. But Curry was 150-1 on Sunday before they played the Thunder to win MVP. He's down to 35-1 this morning after these last two performances. He's been great. And you guys know how much I like this Warriors team. They are deep. They are good defensively. It's funny, on the broadcast yesterday, one of the things that they talked about was this is unsustainable how deep they are. I think they'll take it, right?
John, because this is exactly what I wanted to ask you about. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay. That
was my Warriors follow-up, because you're exactly right. Charles Barkley intimated that this isn't sustainable. Not intimated, I think he actually used the words. Then Shaq went into his whole 10-game bucket thing where he's like, yep. All right, so Phil Jackson used to tell us, you go 9-1 for the first 10. Actually, they went 8-2, but he was like, good Warriors went 9-1. So he said he can see them going 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. Do you have that same viewpoint of them, or do you feel like they're being a little harsh on this team?
No, I think they can be great. So I didn't really understand what the whole point of everything was in terms of unsustainability. And talking about unsustainability in the sense of they're too deep, Reggie Jackson was on the call yesterday. He brought that up. At some point you're gonna have to figure this rotation out. Yeah, Reggie, we got 70 games left. I think we're going to be fine to figure out exactly what our rotation is going to look like. But think about what some of the shortcomings of the Warriors teams in the last few years have been. It's been their depth, right? It's been Curry goes down and all of a sudden you don't have anybody that you can trust. Well, guys, they had a winning record in the games that Curry went down with, right? It was part of their really strong push here. You have really good defensive players in multiple positions, whether it's Wiggins, whether it's Melton, Draymond Green. You've got so many different guys that can fit their roles perfectly. When you get to the postseason, figure out who your top eight are going to be. But I think this is perfectly sustainable. And I do think that road trip was a microcosm of what this team could be. For those who don't remember, it was the three-game trip. They go to Boston, play a really great, tight defensive game. They end up winning that in a really bad spot because it's situationally right in the middle of a road trip after an emotional game. You go to Cleveland, you get doors blown off. Everybody's getting beaten by Cleveland. And then you bounce back and you beat Oklahoma City. Like, I think this team has a lot that works for them. And I think they match up well with a lot of these teams. I think you saw it yesterday. They have the wing bodies to throw at Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving and feel comfortable defensively. They have just enough size to match up with teams like that have rotation centers like Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford. So maybe this is just me, Gil, because as you know, like, I really like this team, and maybe I'm just seeing all of the positives. I think this team, especially given the makeup of the top of the West, could be like a top three seed, top two seed in the Western Conference in this regular season.
I think so. And Draymond Green, remember, you brought him up, but Draymond Green remains one of the weirdest, most unique unicorns of all. I know I'm being redundant in sports, where it's like he's so key to this franchise and all those championships. But if you put him on any other team, I don't know if he's anything, you know? It's incredible.
Oh, dude, of course. Last night, dude, the block on Gafford and the stare down as they go right back down. And like, but you're right. Like, he made two great plays. He had a really strong rebound. I think it was right after that to help end a possession for Golden State defensively. Like, he's been great. And we talk about like Victor Wembanyama to win Defensive Player of the Year. This is top five defense in the NBA right now, in large part because of Draymond Green. So I would not sleep on him to win that award either.
What did you end up? So tonight is a regular, quote unquote, a regular NBA night.
Boring night.
You do have five teams back to boring courts. You do have five games which feature a team that is on a back-to-back against a team that is not on a back-to-back. Are you playing any of those? Are you playing any of the others?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of the ones involving, and this is just a, hey, look, like this team I think is just worth fading in these situations. Philadelphia 76ers are taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs, as we know, have been pretty much rolling to this point, but Philadelphia coming off of that game against New York, we know the situation with Joel Embiid and Paul George. The expectation that this is going to be a shorthanded team with some minutes restrictions in place if guys do play. I laid 8.5 here with Cleveland. I think they're going to be able to take care of business against the 76ers, and that's kind of been the strategy for me. And really, that's about it. I think there was a couple of games that stuck out. You know, for example, I know the market kind of likes to play in these home and home, or like these baseball series, we should say, like Minnesota and Portland, maybe having Minnesota stick around inside of this in this game and eventually win and cover would be something. But I think maybe you're going first half in that regard than anything else, because I haven't really loved what I've seen from the Timberwolves. That was kind of, for me, numbers would say play it, but I'm not really going to do it because I haven't liked what I've seen from Minnesota. And that's about it. I also had Indiana on my list of plays to potentially make, but don't really like the injuries to their depth overall. And Orlando really surprised me yesterday. I thought there was going to be a much tighter game, and they blew out Charlotte. So for right now, the only thing that I've got, late Cleveland -8.5 on the road against Philly.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. I was going to get off the NBA, but the Cavaliers are 12-0. They're among a handful of teams that have done this. That's it in the history of the NBA. To beat the Warriors record, by the way, for the greatest record of all time, 73-9, the Cavs merely need to go 62-8 the rest of the way, which is still just unbelievable to think about. But 12-0 is 12-0 in a year where the Winnipeg Jets are also 15-1. That's never been done in hockey. Is this just a small sample size thing? I mean, I get it, they're good, but and no one's expecting them to be spectacularly good. But like, where do you rank them in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, they're solidly two. I don't think there's really any question about that. And we could say, I mean, look, like you just said, right? No Trae Young, and the Boston Celtics just lost to Atlanta. We saw them go to overtime with Brooklyn. We saw them lose in overtime to Indiana. So I think Boston's fine. But again, it's not a perfect team by any stretch. But I think Cleveland, everything we've seen from them, I think is legitimate. There's a tangible change, obviously, right, from last year. Kenny Atkinson is now their head coach. They are changing the way that they're playing basketball. And I think those changes have translated to a team that, if you remember, they went to Paris last year, Gil. They were like 40-20 at one point. They were ripping off wins left and right, and injuries completely obliterated their season. Now, I think we kind of saw this coming last year, and Kenny Atkinson is kind of putting the foot on the gas and accelerating what we saw last season. Now, I think they are legitimately the second best team in the Eastern Conference and could push Boston in a best of seven series.
Yeah, Kenny Atkinson, there was a reason why he was so coveted as a head coach, and he ends up with Cleveland. Real quick before we go, your favorite Week 11 NFL play is?
Oh, we're going to get ugly here. I've bet two games so far. I have taken the points with both the Las Vegas Raiders and the Dallas Cowboys. But I will say this about the Cowboys. I do think that this offensive line really quickly for Houston is an issue. CJ Stroud, the second most pressured quarterback in the National Football League. It has failed. There's been a reason why they've failed to cover a lot of these games, including the game that got Anthony Richardson benched. I think that's going to be a pretty big problem. I'm going to give this one more shot for the Cowboys. Stay inside 7.5 at home against Houston.
Yeah, that was one of the three that I liked on guessing lines. I don't know if I have the same bravery as you do, same courage, but that was one of the three. Thank you, John. Appreciate it as always, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Jonathan Von Tobel at MeJBT, our senior NBA analyst. I hope you have Euro Cup. Euro Cup. I hope you have a NBA Cup fever like we do. I like the courts. I like the whole concept. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten, all his bets right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.